Welcome back to the Prepare Podcast. If you're listening for the first time, the Prepare Podcast is a production of the Salvation Army Central Territory Women's Ministries Department. Here, women of faith and ministry share their experiences and wisdom to prepare and equip us in our faith, pursuits, and callings. I'm your host, Heather Hanton. Today, we welcome Lieutenant Amanda Hoshite as our guest on the podcast. Amanda and her husband, Brian, are the core officers or head pastors of the Salvation Army in Kirksville, Missouri. Amanda has a beautiful testimony of God's love and redemption and forgiveness and how she has learned to forgive others. I'm thrilled to have her share her story today. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Amanda. Welcome, Amanda.
Hi, thanks. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much for just taking time to talk to us today. I also want to take a minute and thank Major Shar Hall for recommending having you on our podcast. We love her.
She's great.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome. We highly value her suggestions, so we appreciate Major Shar. And if anyone ever has a suggestion for the podcast and they want to reach out to us, they can feel free to do that. So you have a wonderful story to share, but before we actually get to the meat of that, I want to know a little bit more about you.
Well, yeah, so I don't know. I think everyone is somebody to someone. I don't think there's ever anybody whose story is bigger or better than anybody else's. We're all a part of him, but I was raised in Minneapolis, Minnesota, to a single dad. Came to the Lord when I was an adult. I was a very wayward and troubled young sassy thing in my teen years, but the Lord saved me, redeemed me, called me into this crazy ministry, crazy everything. But now I am the core officer in Kirksville, Missouri. It's my first appointment. I'm a messenger of the gospel, married to my husband, Brian. I have three children, Chet, Dorothy, and Elias, and a sassy cat and a lazy dog. So that's...
Are you more of a dog person or a cat person, would you say?
I am more of a cat person, but she's not into me. So I guess I'm becoming more of a dog person as he wants to be my best friend. So.
Aw, yeah, cats are hard to know. That's always been my experience anyway. So you're a Salvation Army officer. How long have you been serving in the Salvation Army as a full-time officer?
We're heading into our third year, so we're newbies.
Okay. And when did you first know you were called to be an officer?
Well, we were one of those kind of people. We were just married, just had a new baby. We were really wanting to find a church in our area. We passed by the Salvation Army, which I'd passed by forever, and there was like a small little sign that says, "We're a church." And I'm thinking, what kind of church is in a thrift store? Because I don't know.
Yep, and that's so common.
We just walked in off the street one Sunday morning and were just overcome by how welcome we were. Mm. And it was kind of, you know, interesting. Everyone who had the church was from the Caribbean. The core officers were from Jamaica. Most of the congregation was from Jamaica and Barbados. And they all, to me, looked like flight attendants. And yeah. I'm like, what is happening in this church, you know? But we just were just welcomed in and just loved for who we were. Mm-hmm. And I just really felt like the minute, like the Lord said, this is your place. This is your resting place. We just got involved in about a year in. Our officer said, "You guys should think about officership." And I'm like, "You just barely got me in pantyhose. Like, I don't know."
Amen.
Like, how we're going to do this, you know? Mm-hmm. But we prayed about it, and my husband was for sure, and I was a little less for sure, but I said, "You know, let's try." And it was the Lord's faithfulness. Mm. We got in right when he needed us to be. And I think it was right for the appointment that we're in now that needed us when they needed us. And really, it's a story of God's faithfulness. But yeah, there's not really much else I'd rather do. This is, I get to wear so many hats. It's a great time.
So you said you were saved as an adult.
That's right.
Who was the biggest influence on your life?
Well, I try to learn from everyone I encounter. I think you can learn a little bit from everybody. But probably my dad is my biggest influence. As we get more into my story, my mother left my family when I was almost two. My sister was only 3 days old. And here was this former Marine, two toddler daughters, mm-hmm. nowhere to go. We ended up being homeless on the street for several years, living in a pickup truck in Minnesota for most of my early elementary years. But throughout it all, he just never let his circumstance dictate his joy. And he really stayed strong and resilient. He wasn't quite in faith until I was a little bit older, but he knew that there was something going to keep it together. Mm-hmm. And that kind of stayed with me, that even when I was really angry and bitter at God for our circumstances and things, he just said, you can't blame anybody for your problems. All you can do is move forward. Mm. And so that really has been like a very shaping moment of who I am today, that we don't need to dwell on the past, and we definitely don't need to blame anyone else for our problems. God is bigger than it, and we can continue to move forward.
That's great. So let's talk about your story. I'd love to hear.
Sure. Well, the story was the story about coming to forgiveness with my mother and how the Salvation Army kind of played a role in that, and how God just has a huge sense of humor, I think. And mm-hmm. he is just off the wall. Like you cannot plan the movements of God, really.
No.
So like I said, my mom, so how her and my dad met, my dad had just got out of prison in California.
Wow.
He is riding his motorcycle. Now this is 1984. Okay.
Okay.
From California to Minnesota. So he's got like the mullet flying in the wind, you know, like just glorious. He sees my mother getting assaulted outside of a bar, and he rides his motorcycle like into the guy,
off
the curb. So my mom is like, who is this man? Right. So she becomes enamored with him. She's 18 years old. And he had actually just lost a wife and son in California. And he's like, well, if you want to hang around, go ahead. So here's this 18-year-old in a marriage, kind of loveless. She has a daughter. That's me. I'm great. But she kind of started messing around and got addicted to methamphetamines, ended up prostituting herself to feel that need and to feel that loneliness. My sister was born 3 months early. She only weighed 1 pound, addicted to meth.
Oh, wow.
It just got to be so much for her. They said she'd need all of these things, going to be disabled her whole life. She isn't. Side note, she's great. She's got her own family. But it was too much for her. She's 20 years old at this point.
Yeah.
And so she just needed to exit herself out. And my dad, he had to quit work because now he had a very sick newborn, and no shelters would take men with kids. This was 1989. Mm-hmm. So our only option was to hop from house to house and then to kind of grow up on the streets. And that ended up becoming really self-resilient. And I really, like I talked about my dad a little bit, really kind of grew into you need to rely on yourself for how you're going to be. But growing up without a mom, a lot of people times, what's wrong with you, or what's wrong with him, or was he an abuser? Was he, you know, what kind of kid doesn't want their own mom? And that kind of sticks around with you. But I really just decided to put that into a box, to seal myself in it, build up those walls, and think, I don't care.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a natural response.
She's doing her own thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, and I stuck with that for a long time. And I really kind of prided myself that I never needed therapy for it, never needed whatever for it. I wasn't going to use it as an excuse for the way that my life is going. And so I really kind of just made this, like, filled up that mom hole with like these bricks, you know, and just sealed myself off from that. And I really didn't think about it for a lot of years. My sister struggled a lot more, and, you know, I tried to fill that mom role for her. And that was, I think, the thing that got me the most was when my sister was really hurting, that I was the only person she had. And I definitely was not equipped for the type of things that she needed.
Yeah.
So fast forward, we're in the Salvation Army now. We are we're actually interns in Minnesota. And I get this call, and I, you know, hello. And they said, hi, this is your Aunt Jody. I'm your mother's sister. No idea. Oh, okay. Like, so I'm thinking, did someone die? Like, I've never talked to you my whole life. Mm-hmm. And she says, are you in the Salvation Army? I said, yeah, I am. That's weird. She goes, and she had found out from my aunt. And she said, well, do you guys do counseling in prison for free? I said, probably. So she goes, well, your mother's in prison. She had attempted homicide of a police officer.
Oh, my word.
And she needs someone to come and be her on her team as her pastoral counselor to kind of look better for the judge.
Wow.
So I'm like, I can maybe point you in the right direction. Yeah. I don't know.
Right.
She goes, no, I really think that it should be you. I think it would mean a lot to your mom to have you there. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, gosh.
So I got the date and time, and all of a sudden, like, I feel like my whole body is just like tensed, and I just like, I don't know what to do. Because on the one hand, this is my purpose, is to love people that are unloved.
Sure.
And right now this lady has no one, nobody. I mean, if my aunt is hunting down her estranged daughter after 30 years,
right,
obviously she's got nobody else. So I start to reel through, what am I going to do? And all of a sudden I realized I hated her.
Mm.
And I never knew that before until thinking about it, that I really hated her. Now, I understood intellectually, you know, you're on drugs, you're in a loveless marriage, you're overwhelmed, you're 20 years old.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is 30 years later. No contact, no letters. And obviously now I'm thinking, they've known where to find me this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, I don't owe this lady anything. So I'm going back and forth, like, of course I'm going to go. She needs me. She could learn about Jesus. This could be a great thing. And on the other hand, I'm thinking, what a jerk. Let her rot in prison. So I know that sounds terrible, but that's kind of what I'm, mm-hmm. I'm thinking. And I'm thinking that all the way as I'm driving up to the prison, because I'm still going, of course I am. But I'm thinking, what am I going to do?
Right.
What in the world am I going to say? Hi, Samantha, remember me, you know?
Yeah.
So I go through all the paperwork. I go, you know, through all the things, and I get into this little tiny room, and she walks in. And I'm going to tell you, we have the same face.
Really?
That was like the obvious thing. We look identical, except for her hair is half in cornrows. That's a whole different story. But I'm thinking, but for the grace go I. Mm-hmm. Really, that's the first thing that thought. Because the way that her life turned out was the way that my life was going.
Wow.
Before I met Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, here is this 50-year-old woman, got drunk, stole DVDs from Walmart, barricaded herself in her house and had a shootout with cops and almost killed one. I realized in my heart that my unforgiveness is really barricading myself from seeing this woman the way God sees her, which is just to hug her and hold her and let him know that he loves her. And it was so, so sad, but also it really made me understand God's love for me.
Mm.
Yeah, but for the grace of God,
yeah,
this could be me. It looked like me. It was like, so it was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so talking to her too, it was like ministering to one of my teens when I was a youth leader. It was that kind of weird influence reversal,
mm-hmm.
where, and the Lord just told me, do what you always do. What special words do I need? None. I am here for you. God is here for you. Let's get through this together.
Mm-hmm.
And in our officer's covenant, we make a call to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked. But the thing that I cling to the most is to love the unloved and sometimes the unlovable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because not everyone that we're called to love reciprocates.
It's very true.
And I really thought maybe this was going to be a turning point in our relationship and everything was going to be, you know, that we were just going to have Thanksgiving and it's going to be amazing. And to be honest, it didn't turn out that way.
Mm-hmm.
She got released from prison. We ended up actually getting her out of prison and mandatory therapy for mental illness, which I think was like the best thing possible. But kind of when she got what she needed from me, that was what she wanted. And so then I started to go back into, of course, just needing me for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus really spoke to my heart. Who did you do this for? But I can tell you, all of the guards there, all of the lawyers, my sister, my dad, you know, that touched all of them. So, but to think I forgave because God forgave me.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that I need a restored relationship. I mean, I might still, who knows? It doesn't mean that I need something from them. I need restitution or to even be asked for forgiveness.
Right.
That God is bigger than all that stuff. But he let me know that he kind of burst through that bricked up got mother hole that I had built for myself and really placed himself there, which is, I think, what all of us need in all those kind of places in our lives that we bury and wrap up and
yeah.
hide and think that we need to put on a face for when we don't.
Right. Yeah, and I've learned over the years too that I can't force someone to have a relationship with me. If that bridge can't be fixed, or if that's a broken relationship, I can only go so far. Mm-hmm. I can forgive and show love and offer my friendship, but if they still have work to do, then God's got to deal with them too. All I can ask is for a change of heart for myself.
Yep. And so God really opened, he really healed wounds I didn't even know I had.
I love it.
Through that experience. And so, and God still has a plan for her. I'm sure of it. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure. And God still loves her immensely.
Oh yeah.
And she is, she's got a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And probably a lot of unforgiveness going on in her own life. But to realize, you know, our war isn't against flesh and blood, mm-hmm. right? It's against those principalities and rulers and evil.
Right.
And I remember that too. When I see other people going through similar things, you know, but by the grace goes all any of us.
Oh, that's an incredible story. So let's go back in time for a minute. If you could go back to your younger self and give some advice, looking back 2020, you know, like 2020 vision, looking back on it, what would you say?
Buy toilet paper. No.
That's right. Stock up.
No, I like to joke. I sometimes use the word dingus a lot. Like, that's what I tell my friends. Just don't be a dingus. Like that would be the main one. But I think though what it would be was that there is more than my high school problems.
Yeah.
And that God is way bigger.
Yeah.
And I think I would, I'd really just want someone to tell me that he really loves, like really, really loves me, and that I don't need to perform. I don't need to be somebody else. I don't need to rely on who other people are when they are, say that they're Christians and they don't live that, because that's not who he is. But that just really that God is real, that he's real.
Yes.
That what you've heard about this is real, but it's so much bigger than what I've been told, and greater, and that it's for me.
Yeah.
And that God has a real plan for me, the way I am, awkwardness and all. That's who I am. That's who he wants.
It's a beautiful thing. So you've kind of already touched on this, but we'll ask the question again. What kind of hope can you give someone who may be going through something similar, or trying to restore a broken relationship, or has the same kind of backstory? What kind of hope could you give someone in that situation?
I would say that anything worth doing has some form of struggle with it. Mm-hmm. If it's too easy, there's probably an issue, because anything good comes a little bit hard. And forgiveness, I think, is the same way. It really is a choice. I think sometimes people think all the stars have to align in order for something like that to happen. But it really is a choice, because unforgiveness doesn't just leave you because you've built a wall around it.
Right.
And you can think of anything, hopelessness, bitterness, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just because you've hit it and wrapped it up pretty, doesn't make it go away.
That's true.
But in order to have freedom, you really have to know who your enemy is. And it is never people.
Right.
People are never our enemy. Mm-hmm. It's always bigger. And I touched on it a little bit, but Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. And that goes for anything that we're struggling with in this life. Mm-hmm. You know, in our world right now, it's really an us versus them, and on things on education, on health, in
sure.
politics, family dynamics, wherever. It really is getting into, if you're not like me, then you're my enemy. But God is so much bigger than all that stuff.
Amen.
He really is the King of hope. And so if you can put aside all the stuff that the world is telling you to matters, is your identifier, is your what you need to cling to for who you are, you're always going to lose, because it's always going to make people your enemy. But if you align yourself with God, all that stuff kind of dissolves away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't really matter what's going on in the world, because you know who you are. You know who God made you. You know who the people in front of you are, and how, you know, God's vision and plan for them. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to bring a lot of joy. One last thing I'd also say is that you got to deal with your stuff, and everybody has stuff.
Right.
Everybody's got stuff.
Let's keep it real. Mm-hmm.
But we were never meant to deal with stuff on our own.
Mm.
That's why God invented church.
Right. Community.
We need each other. And we need to confess our sin to one another. And we need to confess those deep, dark, hidden things. Now, this is hard, I think, for Americans, really, because we're a self-sufficient people.
Oh, yeah.
We try to be. But we need to confess. We need to be honest. Because God doesn't need perfect people. But he needs honesty. He needs honest people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was before, and I couldn't really minister to my mother correctly unless I was honest in my pain. And honest that I had not forgiven. I could have put on my uniform a little tighter and walked in there like everything was fine, but it wasn't. You know, I needed to deal with that because people who are real with struggles get help for struggles.
Sure.
From God and from other people. And he wants us to deal with them. He wants to help us deal with them wholly and completely and in him. Because if we just try to do it on our own, we're going to fail every time.
Yeah. And your genuineness to your mom in those moments may make a difference. Down the road, she may realize, yeah, that was a real encounter. That was, she was yeah. Jesus in those moments, for real.
Well, now we're Facebook friends, so that's a little start.
Hey, that's great. That's good.
It's all right.
Yeah. So let's fast forward now to what you're doing currently in your ministry appointment in Kirksville, but just in general in ministry. What motivates you as a woman in full-time ministry? And it's kind of a two-part question. How do you feel God has gifted you in those passions, in those motivations?
Well, I love people. Although I am an introvert, I'd much rather be with my cat with no pants watching Netflix, but I do what I got to do, you know?
Yeah.
Just keeping it real. I really have made it a point to be content wherever I am. It doesn't really matter what I'm doing. I could be working the food pantry, cleaning a toilet, ministering wherever.
Sure.
Wherever I am, I know that God has called me. And because God has called me, he's going to equip me for everything. No matter what,
mm-hmm.
if he's put it in my path, he must have already. So I just go with, he must have already equipped me for it. So
that's
let's roll with it.
Great attitude. Great attitude. I think we all need to think more like that, you know?
I'd love to say it's easy, but it's not. When we first arrived in Kirksville, Lord bless our predecessors. They tried very hard, but there was no congregation. First three Sundays. No people.
Oh my,
my kid, I was like, I'm preaching to you children. Like, come on in. I'm thinking, okay, this is not what I signed up for. What is happening? So you know what? We got on our uniforms. We got on out the flag.
Mm-hmm.
We marched around town. Hi, new flight attendant in town. What's going on? I was also very pregnant. So I'm like waddling down the road. Good to meet you. You know?
I love it.
And, found out that there was no place for people to get a hot meal on Sundays. There was another mission, but it was closed Sundays and Mondays. And I'm like, well, heck, I can make breakfast. So I, you know, cooking up a little breakfast. And now I think last Sunday we had 49.
Wow. Fantastic.
Yeah. And we have 6 soldiers now and 11 junior soldiers. But our big thing is we just love you. Just come. And I tell anyone, if they're thinking about coming to church, like, we are a mess. Okay. We are a hot mess. We got half our lights don't work. Mm, our AV goes in and out. It's just my husband on guitar. Lord bless him. But we're going to love you.
Right.
We're going to love you. And so just come on,
come on.
There's just come on, come to the table.
Yep.
That's what we're doing. I'm really passionate about people knowing that they belong at God's table, that they have a place.
Mm-hmm.
I am really passionate about people seeing themselves the way that God sees them, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Some people just go, oh, God is love and he loves you exactly the way you are. And that is so true. But he's also holy and he's also drawing us into the person that when he envisioned you in your mother's womb, that he stamped on you.
Yeah, that's right.
When God looks at you, he doesn't look at all of your failures, although he will point them out to help you grow into the person that he did create. And so that's like my big thing.
That's awesome. Okay, so let's switch gears here for a minute. What's something that our listeners might be surprised to know about you?
I am a historical reenactor of the 1800s.
No way!
Particularly the fur trade. And I specialize in historical textile weaving and how to spin linen and spin wool. That's one of my favorite hobbies. So that's always fun.
Wow, that is a surprise. That's not something that you like talk about every day. Oh yeah, by the way. So
I like to teach Viking weaving, Ojibwe, and backstrap and like Norwegian, Scandinavian. It's fun.
That's so cool. Do you have like, where do you get your materials? Like just Joann Fabrics?
Yeah. So for flax, what makes linen, you just find it on the side of the road. So sometimes I'll be driving and my husband will drive and I'm like, look, it's flax. I'm like, get out, like start cutting it down on the side of the road.
That's amazing.
For other hair, I mean, I usually will look at different, like alpaca or that's better when I'm rural, sheep farms, but also I just go to Hobby Lobby too, just like everyone else. But I do like, I don't have my own wheel though. I always have to borrow it, but that's my dream. My husband won't buy it for me. It's like $1,400, but we'll see. We'll see.
Man, I wouldn't even know where to start with that. Is that something you can order on Amazon? You know, like where would you go to even get a spinning wheel?
Get connection. You can order them on Amazon though. But the Woolery, if anyone's interested in textiles, there's a website called The Woolery and they do tutorials and they sell all the stuff and it's great.
Oh my word. So when you go to do this then, is there someplace local that you go?
They're all over the United States.
Okay.
And stuff. So it depends on what you want to do and what era you want to do. You could do Civil War, not so much weaving, but I'd like to do the French fur trade. That was a big one in Minnesota and Wisconsin kind of upper area. Mm-hmm. But I'm also starting to get into Viking fests. So
wow.
That's fun. My kids don't necessarily appreciate me dressing them up, but I don't care anymore. This is what we do. You can figure it out when you're an adult and do your own thing.
Hey, they may pick it up. They may like it. They may enjoy it someday. You know, you're planting seeds.
That's right.
Okay, so here's a fun question. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would be on it and where would you put it?
I have so many things, but I, you know, when I was thinking about this question, I was really thinking about what if I had just a second to tell someone that they need to know. I'd probably say that, you know, what we touched on, that God is merciful enough to love us where we are and holy enough to change us into what he needs us to be.
I love that.
I'd put it everywhere.
Everywhere.
Bumper stickers.
As many as we could. Put it up.
Because I think people tend to go into two camps of God is all love and I never need to change because we're just in a little love camp over here. Or God is holy and everything about you sucks. And so what we need to do is kind of go in the middle that God does love us and he welcomes us where we are, but he is holy enough to remove sin from us and to make us holy.
Right.
And to make us into people that we never even dreamed of. When I was 16-year-old crying in my pity party, you know, with my pink mohawk wearing elephant pants sitting in the Mall of America, I never dreamed I'd be on this podcast with you today.
Right. What an amazing hope too that gives us.
Yeah.
That when we give our lives over to God, he could take us in the craziest direction. You just never know.
He's got a sense of humor, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Man, he's great.
I love it. So we talked about what you love to do in your free time. Do you play any games? Do you have any apps? Are you a phone junkie, like app junkie?
I love to play The Sims, like the life simulator.
Yes, okay.
Since Sims 1, I don't know, I was like 12 years old. I've been addicted. I'm waiting. There's a new expansion coming out on the 11th and it's already pre-ordered. I play grown-up dolls, I guess, on The Sims. That's my game I play.
Yeah.
But I also am super addicted right now to British cleaning shows and I will binge watch those on my phone. I love mm-hmm. it.
So last question, how can we specifically pray for you?
Well, of course, kettles are coming up. So that's a big one. But really, I said, we've kind of been building this core up from nothing. Mm-hmm. And what we really need, we know our time is limited. All officers' times are limited wherever they are. And so we're really praying that God would call local leaders because the ministry is growing faster than our four hands can handle.
Yeah, sure.
So we really need people who want to be, not only just want to be, but are equipped to be local leaders. That's a big prayer of ours that we've had. Also for a continued reach into the community. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be content with the 49 that I have. Others, right? Continue to go out and have the ones that I have go out. And that the people that we come in contact with are going to continue to grow in grace, in love, and in holiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you and hearing your beautiful story. I know that God is going to continue to use you and your gifts and your husband and what they've called you to do there in Kirksville. So as you continue to serve God, I'm just so excited to see all the things that he has in store for you.
I appreciate it. And thanks for what you do here on Prepared Podcast and encouraging women. That's a wonderful and amazing thing. And we all need encouragement, especially in this day and age.
That's right.
To grow closer with each other and grow closer in Christ. So it's awesome. Thank you for what you do.
Yeah. Thank you, Amanda. It's great talking to you. I hope you are as blessed as I was today by Amanda's story. God can work in the most seemingly impossible situations. I'm grateful for another testimony of his power and grace and forgiveness. As you may already be aware, the Salvation Army helps millions of people each year meeting human needs in the name of Jesus. Usually by now, you would be seeing our red kettles out at stores or hearing that bell ringing. It's a familiar sight and sound, one that signals the holiday season is upon us. But we are facing what could be one of the most challenging seasons yet, as many stores are not able to accommodate our kettles due to COVID restrictions and financial burdens. Therefore, we need your help. So please consider giving a donation so that we can continue the important work in our communities. You can drop off donations of any amount at your local Salvation Army, or you can give safely and securely online at www.give.salvationarmyusa.org. Let me say that again, www.give.salvationarmyusa.org. Now, another way to help is the gift of your time. If you are able and would like to volunteer to stand at a kettle, you can visit www.registertoring.com. And you can always contact your local Salvation Army for more ways to help. The need is greater than ever. More and more people are facing unemployment, eviction, and poverty. Your gifts help provide essential needs of food, shelter, and hope to those hurting in your community. And we thank you in advance for your generosity. That's all for today. Thanks for listening. I hope this podcast has been uplifting and encouraging to you and has left you feeling prepared and equipped for tomorrow. I'll see you next time.